This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. In 2015, the world came together at the UN and set goals for itself to reach by 2030. These were known as the Sustainable Development Goals. Every UN member country agreed to them. They included things like no more poverty, gender equality, clean water and sanitation for all. There were 17 of them. The world is now on track to achieve nearly none of them. Why is a more complicated question than one might expect. Melinda French Gates is co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and recently wrote about this in the foundation's Goalkeepers 2022 report, arguing we need to rethink some of our strategies. She joins us now. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So we have these lofty, super lofty goals: zero hunger, quality education, affordable and clean energy. By the UN's own admission, these goals are not being met. The UN emphasizes how disruptive COVID has been to these goals. But you write that blaming COVID alone is a cop-out. Why?
Well, I think we have to look at, first of all, there was incredible progress before COVID. You know, poverty had gone down, malaria deaths had gone down, children under five were surviving to their fifth birthday, far more of them. However, COVID disrupted many, many things, but we weren't going to get there on some of these goals to begin with. Just take gender inequality. It exists all over the world, and yet now it's gotten even worse with COVID. But it's because we weren't really investing in some of the root causes on gender. And I think we've realized that now with COVID. Like, if we don't really put this on the front burner and really address the root causes, we're never going to get to gender inequality.
Speaking of gender inequality, that's one of the items you've tackled. And you've written, we really need to change our thinking there. Can you give us an example of how thinking should change?
Sure. So one of the things that happened during the pandemic that was very fortuitous, you know, as many governments realized they needed to put social protection payments in place. And they did that. They put cash in the hands of families. But what we saw is that if you don't make sure that the cash actually gets into a woman's wallet, and honestly into a digital wallet or into her bank account, you're not going to make a profound difference for her. She needs to actually have full control and decision-making authority over that money, when to spend it, where to spend it, whether to save it. So often the cash would go into the hands of a man, or she would get the cash, but then he would control it. So we've got to work on those root causes, on those root issues of, does she have full decision-making authority over the cash?
You know, are there not, in some cases, cultural obstacles? And I mean that I refer to the U.S. as well, you know, systems of belief that a check, even properly targeted, isn't going to dismantle super easily.
Well, there are all kinds of systemic barriers that hold women back and all over the world. And we need to name those and we need to work on those. One thing I will say, though, is that we do know that when a woman has access to her own finances, she begins to change social norms inside of her own family. So I think we have to work on a whole bunch of issues, and we have to make sure that, you know, women have decision-making authority. They have a seat at the table, not just to decide what happens on who eats, but what decisions get made at the table. And they need to have a place at the policy-making table, not just be recipients of policy, but setting policies in their countries.
Childcare is one of the ways you point out to sort of free women up from responsibilities that they disproportionately bear in many places. You argue there is an economic incentive for society to provide help with childcare. Can you explain that?
Sure. So a woman spends over half of her time on unpaid labor, and that's often childcare if she has a child in the home. Sometimes it's elderly care. That is care that, you know, part of it she wants to do. It's the loving care we do, but a lot of it is chores and work. And so if we have good childcare policies so that women can have help with that and their husbands take a little bit or their partner a little bit more responsibility, then we free them up to be able to do the things they want to do in the workforce. And that contributes overall to our economy. So it's a good thing both for the family and for her income and for the economy at large.
Let's shift gears real quick and talk about rethinking hunger. 30% of Africa's crops are going to be grown in climate conditions that will significantly reduce how well they grow, their yield. This is on a continent that imports most of its food, nearly three quarters of its grain. How do you solve that? How do you rethink that?
You make sure that they have the seeds that they're asking for, seeds that are pest resistant for their specific areas. seeds that are drought resistant, because we know that, you know, the Sahel is moving down, and seeds that are flood resistant. The rains are coming at different times, and when they come, they're coming in deluge. Those seeds are being created with African input, and they exist. But then we also need to make sure that we have the seed system working and the agri-dealers so that they're also reaching women. Half of the farmers in Africa are women. But if we just put the seeds through the normal system, they're going to reach half the farmers, which are the men, and not reach the women. So that specific programming we have to do as well.
You know, it's easy. I think it's easy for people to be cynical about giant goals like, you know, no more poverty. Just think that's too big. It's not really solvable. Are there examples of big goals you can point a skeptic to that the world has met in our lifetimes?
Well, in our lifetimes, we have eradicated smallpox. It's a disease that if you go back just one generation, people remember people who had smallpox. You even see, you know, pox marks on people's faces. We don't have that anymore anywhere in the world. We eradicated that disease. So it is possible when the global community comes together and says, we're going to get rid of this, to actually do it.
You know, as you outline ways we need to rethink our strategies for achieving these various goals to reduce human suffering, what is the latest the Gates Foundation is doing to promote this kind of rethinking?
So this week, with the UN Sustainable Development Goals being highlighted, the foundation is going to make over $1 billion of commitments and investments on behalf of others. Those are to things like the Global Fund, which fights AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. We're making commitments around hunger because there's so much need right now. And as well, we're making commitments to African institutions such as the University of Global Health Equity in Rwanda.
Melinda French Gates is co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.